Hey guys, this is Greg Denning, and you are in the School of Awesome Sauce, where I share with you amazing stories and strategies to help you live an extraordinary life. Hey everybody, thanks for joining me for another episode. You know, today is Valentine's Day, so I've just been thinking about my wife and appreciating her so much, and it's just the perfect time to tell the story around our marriage and building that relationship and just a wonderful journey. And it's an awesome, fun story. So I was going to college and I spent most of my time like rock climbing and snowboarding and mountain biking. I skipped class quite often to go play an adventure in the woods, and I still made the dean's list every semester. But I was you know, dating and growing and learning. I actually had set a goal to date quite a bit because I really wanted to meet a lot of different people and go on a bunch of different dates with a lot of different girls, because it taught me so much about people, about women, about myself, about life. And it forced me to, I was terrified to talk to girls in my late teens. So then in my early 20s, I was forcing myself to face my fears and ask for girls' phone numbers and ask girls on dates. And, you know, and I was trying to learn. I was trying to develop social skills and talking skills and learn so much about life. And I did. I learned a ton about myself mostly and about people. And it was awesome. So one night, actually, I got to back up. So then I had a friend of mine. She had convinced me to take a marriage and family class. It was in the evenings. And during this time, there was times I was like, I was so broke. I had hardly had any money, man. So broke. Just trying to, you know, get books for classes, pay for tuition, and eat, and then have adventures. And like, oh man, I was so poor. But in order to do that, I ended up joining the Army ROTC for a couple of semesters to help pay for some of the tuition. And so I had military trainings, I think it was on Thursdays, and so we would literally get camoed up. I'd put on all the gear, and we'd put camo on our faces, and we'd go out in the wilderness, in the woods, and like crawl through the mud and practice all these like military things. And so this friend of mine, she asked me to take this class, and I was like, I don't know. I'm like, I have training that day. And she's like, come on, please. And I'm like, I know, like, I won't have time. I'll literally have to come from training directly to class. She's like, please just take it with me. So I ended up signing up anyways. And so I literally would have to go to this class often, like in full mud and camo, like camo on my face and just directly in there. And the class had about 300, 350 students. And the teacher, this lady, was awesome. She was so fun. And so she ended up making fun of me all the time because I was in camo or whatever. And so there's a lot of jokes and a lot of class. But I ended up meeting everybody in that class because I was the receiving end of all her jokes. And so everyone knew who I was. And in that class, I met a bunch of different people and made some friends. And I met a guy named Rob. And it was very, you know, I didn't think anything of it, but I met this guy named Rob. We talked for a while and didn't think anything of it. So months later, I'm going down to this, there was a speaker downtown and to college age students. So I go down there, I go early because I'm like, yeah, like I was all geeked out about learning. I love learning still to this day. I love learning. I love being a great student. As much as I love to teach and speak, and I'm doing it all the time now, like we are speaking and presenting every day. And as much as I love that, I love to learn. Whoa, I love to learn. And when there's going to be a talented speaker or teacher, oh, I love that stuff because it is rare. And so I'm like on the third row. I'm early. I've got my notebooks. I'm just geeking out, ready to learn. And right in front of me in the second row walk about four or five guys and one lady, and they sit down right in front of me. And she sits down right in front of me. And I was like, whoa, man, I want to talk to that girl. And so I sat there the whole time, probably not even listening to the speaker and presenter, and just thinking, like, how could I talk to this girl? Like, how could I, like, ask for her number and, you know, without getting in a fight with the guys that she's with, right? And so I'm like, come on, I'm going to do this. And I'm watching her, looking in the back of her head the whole meeting. And then she, at the end of the meeting, she stands up and she's walking out. I'm literally just staring at her, watching her leave the building. And she walks over the door, and she's about to walk out the door and out of my life forever. And she turns and talks to somebody and then walks out the door. And I kind of squint and look over, and it was Rob. It was the Rob that I'd met in that child and family development class. And so I go hustling through the crowd, throwing elbows, jumping benches. It wasn't that dramatic, but I was hustling over there. And I ran over and I was like, Rob, who is that girl? He's like, oh, that was Rachel. And I'm like, hey, man, set me up on a date with her. And he's looking at me, he's like, nah, she won't go out with you, man. And he's like, I tried to go out there. I asked her out, and she told me she had, like, red eye or something. She wouldn't go out with me. And I'm like, we'll try. Will you try to set me up on a date with her? He's like, yeah, man, I'll hook you up. So he takes off running after her and goes outside, and he talks to her. He calls me back, like, in 10 minutes. So this was a Sunday evening. He calls me back in about 10 minutes. He's like, hey, man, we got a date all lined up for Friday. And I'm like, Friday? I'm like, oh, I can't wait till Friday, man. I'm like, give me your phone number. So I call her the next day, Monday, and we end up talking for like an hour and a half. Now, you guys, I got to back up a little bit here. So when I was, because I had, you know, grown up in a broken home, my parents had divorced, and then stepdads had come and gone. There's been a lot of divorce, and I was around people who had horrible relationships. And when I was living in bad parts of town, it was just domestic violence and disaster. And I'd rarely seen a really special marriage. Man, I got lots of stories to tell around that even. Like, I was, okay, let me back up even some more. So at one point, like, I was so broke, I had nowhere to go. And I literally went in to clear out my locker. And because I was going to quit high school. Like, I just had to find some work so I could survive. And so I go over to the school. I'm cleaning out my locker. And very fortunately, providentially, one of my coaches walks past. He's like, hey, what's going on? I'm like, cleaning out my locker, man. I don't have anywhere to go. I don't have family. I don't have friends. I don't have a place to go. And I'm just going to work. I can't sit here in school all day and still work and earn enough to survive. He says, hold up just a minute. Come to my office. So I went and sat in his office. He got on the phone with his wife. And he just called. You guys, this blows me away. Blows me away. He's newlywed. They had a little baby girl. He calls his wife and said, hey, there's a young man here about to drop out of high school. Can he come live with us? And she said, yes. She said, yes, you guys. And they let me live with them. And like, now being a husband and a parent, like, that was, it was amazing. It was so amazing. And God bless them forever for what they did for me. And they brought me in. They loved me. They fed me. They cared for me. They took me on family trips with them. They showed me what a good marriage can look like. They showed me love and kindness. Oh, I love those people. They are such great souls. Man, I love those people. All right. So, they showed me what marriage could be like. So back up again. So there I am. I'm around 16, 17 years old. I'm sitting in class one time and someone's like, hey, you need to write down, the qualities you want in your spouse. And I was like, huh? I never thought about that. So I started writing down and they gave us time to do it. So I wrote and wrote and wrote and wrote and wrote. I had this sheet of paper, it was 8.5 by 11 sheet. And I just wrote and wrote as much as I could, the whole front of it and then the back of it. And I'm just like, I was mostly clear about what I did not want. Like, I don't want that. I don't want that. And I'd seen a lot of those things. And so I got really clear on my list. And I kept that list with me, you guys. I carried it with me through my teens. And I kept adding things. Every time I had an experience or saw something, I'd add to it. and then I carried with me into my late teens, early 20s. And, you know, then by then I had traveled internationally. I'd been working, I'd been studying personal development massively. I'd worked with hundreds and hundreds of families. I'd been in their homes. I'd heard their troubles and trials and struggles. I'd seen marriages that were working. I'd seen those that did not. And so I kept adding to my list. And adding and adding and adding and adding. So I had a thorough list. And by the time I met Rachel, I had a really great idea about the kind of woman I wanted to marry. And so I called her that night, a Monday night, and like really adroitly, like it was smooth, tactful. She didn't know she's being interviewed, but I was interviewing her, asking her all the questions, like trying to find out before we ever went out. So like it would be a total blind date for her because she didn't see me. Before we ever went out, like I'm asking her, you know, what she values, what she'd like, what's important to her. I'm just trying to learn about her. And I had this clear standard. I knew what I was looking for. And so we had a good long talk. And I was like, that's good. I was like, hey, let's go out. Let's go out sooner. Let's go out on a Wednesday night. So we went out Wednesday, went to a salad bar. And I went with my roommate and his date, who is now his wife. And we went out and I pick her up and we're talking, but like, she's not talking. She's like not talking, and it's a blind date for me. So I'm like, oh man, she probably doesn't like me. And then I was trying to ask her questions, and it was always like these one word answers. And I'd go back for more salad, and I'd look back over the table, and she was laughing and talking to my roommate. And then I'd go back, and it was quiet. And I was like, oh man, this is going nowhere fast. And so I'm about to just take her home. Like whatever, this is dumb. And so we get in the car. She jumps in and hits the power button on my stereo. Right? Because she wanted to see, little did I know, she told me this later, like she wanted to see exactly what I'd been listening to. Okay, I'll tell you her side. Her side was she had been engaged, and just, it was only like maybe 6 months earlier, had broken off this engagement, and the guy ended up being not who he had pretended to be. He had pretended this big show of this great guy to her, but she eventually found out, luckily before they got married, that he had all these issues and all these problems, and he had just been wearing these masks. And so she was quiet because she wanted me to reveal myself. She wanted me to just talk and talk and talk and reveal who I was. And she did that. We got in the car, she hit the power button to see what I'd been listening to. And of course I'd been listening to an audiobook and a speech, you know, and because I was a voracious learner. And she was letting me talk and reveal myself. And we got in the car, and I remember the exact spot in the parking lot, and I'm about to start up the car, and I'm just like, I'm just trying to come up with questions, trying to just get a conversation. And I was like, hey, do you like to read? And she's like, oh, I love to read. And I was like, all right, this is good. I'm like, okay, now what do you like to read, right? You got to find out what kind of books she likes to read. And she, at the time, was reading this scholarly book by this brilliant man who traveled all the world, and it was heavy stuff, and I had read some of his stuff, and I was so impressed. I was like, whoa, this girl's sharp. I'm like, okay, that's pretty awesome. And so we talked about that for a while. I thought, man, we'll drive around, we'll get to know each other, we'll talk some more. And so we drove in the mountains and kind of overlooking the valley, and we talked some more. And I thought, oh, you know, I like her, we'll go on that. We already have a date lined up for Friday, we'll do this thing. So we went out again Friday, and then we got together every single day. Yeah, every day. And it was awesome. I think we missed like 2 days in like a 6 week period where we didn't get together. And man, our story's fascinating. There's so many lessons here that I want to share. But like literally 2 days after our first date, her dad got crazy sick. And ended up going to the hospital, and they said, well, you got diverticulitis. And so they went in to operate and actually found out that he had colon cancer, and they gave him 3 to 6 months to live. And so we started our relationship with a challenge and a trial, especially on her end, like this real struggle of she's going to lose her dad. And she was the oldest of six. And she was 21 at the time. Man, it was rough go there. And just a shocker for all of us. So that just added to this whole element of us getting to know each other and starting to date and get serious. And our relationship was awesome. We were having so much fun. One time we went on all these fun dates, and I just love adventure. And so one day I'm like, hey, let's just go hiking up the mountains. And it was wintertime. It was snowing. So our first date, the first time I saw her was December 10th. Our first date was December 13th. And we head up in the mountains, and we're going up there. And like tons of snow, we go up way up in the mountains by the ski resorts, and we just get all bundled up. And we just start hiking along this trail, and then we're like, "Ah, let's just go off the trail." And so we just start kind of bushwhacking through the deep snow and get way back in there. It was so fun, jumping off cliffs and going all this stuff. And then we get down there, and we had to cross this like kind of a deep river basin, and there was just a little flow of water in the bottom. We're like, man, but it was steep banks. It's like, how do we get across? As we're walking along, we see this log that had fallen across the river. I'm like, sweet, let's go over that. And it was probably, 6 or 8 feet in the air above the creek, and there's probably 18 inches of snow on top of it. I'm like, you scoot across first, and then I'll scoot across, and we'll go. So she gets on there and starts scooting across, right? And she only knocks off like 4 inches of snow because she doesn't weigh anything. And so she's kind of going. I'm like, oh, sweet, this is working. So she's about halfway out there, and I start going across. So we're sitting on it, right? And just kind of scooting our way across it. And all of a sudden, all the snow on top of the log gives way under my weight, and I'm falling. So I reach up with, and grab hold of the log. And it jolts me. So I'm hanging there by my feet, my feet tied around the log and my hands tied around the log. And it's just this jolt, right? And all the snow comes down on my face and down my coat and just this big bounce on the log. And I shake off all the snow and I look up and Rachel's gone. I'm like, no. And I'm hanging there, by this log, look down in the river. And there she is. She's just been bounced right off and she's sitting in the water. In this river. And I was like, no. So I hurried, scrambled across, and I get over, and you guys, I just start laughing, and she's just kind of in shock, like, what happened? Just got thrown off this log right into the water. And I was just laughing so hard. So we get her out of the water, and she's just like, what in the world? And she starts laughing. But then we're lost. We're way far from the car. We're lost in deep snow. She's drenched. And I'm like, oh, man. So we walk away, and I end up carrying her. I gave her a piggyback ride and carried her back, and we're just trudging through the snow. We get back to the car and go home, get some hot apple cider and hot chocolate, and we end up laughing and laughing, and that's one of our favorite memories. It was so fun. And so we had some great memories, some great fun, and we were falling in love, and I'd learned and decided years before, like, look, I know what I want in a wife. And she had almost everything, almost every quality that I wanted. She is awesome. Man, I love her so much. And I was like, man, she's amazing. And I had learned this phrase. Somebody had taught me, and I'd heard it somewhere, choose your love and then love your choice. And I remember even when I was single, I'd hear people say things like, oh, fall into love. And people would say, well, we fell out of love. That's why we ended our relationship. We got a divorce because we fell out of love. And I remember just saying, that's pathetic. That is pathetic. Love is not something you fall into and fall out of. Like you're this victim. You have no control over your choices or emotions or feelings. I mean, it's total victimism. And I had been so adamantly against any kind of victimism because I'd taken control of my life, and I'd realized, look, if anything good is going to come in my life, it's going to be because I go after it and I make it happen. I make changes in me. And as long as I was blaming and complaining and making excuses and playing the victim as though certain things were out of my control when in reality they're in my control, that's the recipe for a lame life. And so I was adamant about that stuff. And so I love this idea of choose your love and then love your choice. That's how it works, right? You choose your love, you love your choice. You decide, you're in, you commit. And we started talking about that because our relationship was getting serious, and we were talking about things like this, and we were having meaningful conversations. Like, I don't understand these people who go on dates or couples who are getting rid, and they just talk about chit-chat and endlessly. And like, I mean, they'll date for months or years and never have an awesome, serious, solid conversation. But I was always like, hey, let's talk. Let's talk about things that matter, right? And we were talking about life, and we were talking about education and family and who we wanted to become and how we wanted to do life. And we would read together, read voraciously all the time together. That was one of our favorite things as we were dating. And so, we talked about that, like, no, like, this is a choice. And, you know, she got to know me, I got to know her, and we got to know each other fast by having adventures, having real solid, open conversations. And because she had been engaged previously, she was like, look, I refuse to let myself get emotionally involved here until I know what kind of man you are. And I was the same way. I was on this side, like, we're going to get to know each other. And so we're open and honest and frank and authentic. And we're like, we got to know each other well fast. And we thought, you know what? This is awesome. And I think the fact that the doctors had given her dad 3 to 6 months to live, added to that. They're like, you know what? Like, if this is going somewhere and we think it is, let's go ahead and let's get engaged. And so we got engaged. It was after 6 weeks, you guys. Woo! 6 weeks of dating. I went and got a ring and I proposed. And ended up proposing to her up on that mountainside where we drove up on our first night in that same spot. And we got engaged after 6 weeks. And then we'd set a date to get married in May. But we were wondering if her dad would make it that long. He was very, very sick. He had part of his colon removed, and he was sick. He was really sick, so we didn't know if he'd make it. So we ended up bumping up our wedding to March. So we were engaged we dated for 6 weeks, got engaged, and then we were engaged for 6 weeks and got married. And we got married on March 10th is our anniversary. So it was exactly 3 months from the night that I saw her first. And that's crazy fast. Holy cow, it's crazy fast. And we are coming up on 18 years of pure awesome sauce marriage. It's been such an epic adventure. But we were deliberate going in, like, hey, we literally said, look, divorce is not an option. Like, we're in. We're going to make this work. And I love to tell people and teach all the time, like, if you're not working on your marriage, you are working on your divorce by default. If you're not working on your health, then you're working on your bad health by default. And life is lived on an incline, you guys. Life is on this climb. And if you're not moving, if you're not progressing, then you're sliding backwards. It's just the default. That's how life is. And, you know, we were in. And we have had a really great marriage the whole time. And of course, we've had plenty of differences of opinions. And we've had some really, really hard times. We've faced some crazy, difficult challenges and trials as a couple and as a family. But we've had a great marriage. And because we've worked on it, we've been deliberate and intentional about it. And I was not going to bring, like we talked about in the previous episodes, I'm not bringing any of my past baggage or emotional or psychological issues. I'm leaving all that stuff behind, let go of all that, coming in fresh start, and we're going to build our relationship, and we're going to do it independent of other people and other family members, whatever. We're going to build our awesome relationship. And you guys, today we have an absolutely extraordinary marriage because we worked on it. And we're intentional about it. And every time an issue came up or a difficulty or a disagreement or a challenge, we'd work through it together. And I can sincerely say we are best friends. And that, my friends, is how marriage should be. You should be best friends. So if you're single and you're listening to this, man, write down that list of qualities you want in your spouse. And guess what? That list of qualities are the exact ones you need to be working on, right? The attributes, the characteristics, the way you want to do life. Those are the things you want to be working on. And when you do that, when you work on yourself harder than you do anything else, and your spouse works on their self harder than they do anything else, and then you come together, it makes for a phenomenal marriage. And that's what you should look forward to. Look forward to and prepare for being best friends. And if you're married or divorced, like, or single, like, every one of you should be working towards a marriage where you're best friends. And it just takes being intentional and deliberate about it and wanting it and working towards it. And even if you're listening to this and you're like, yeah, but my spouse won't, they're not in, you can do it. Even if you're the only one working on it, you can make massive, massive improvements to your marriage. In fact, we have a whole course called the Extraordinary Marriage Course. And like we go through step by step from mindset to habits to intimacy to like connecting and building and like how to literally build step by step. And anyone can do this. Anyone can do this to build an absolutely extraordinary marriage. And it's awesome. And that's the way life should be. You should be absolutely in love and have passion and excitement and romance and fun and hard work. And I just feel so blessed. Roach and I feel so blessed. We are business partners together. We travel the world together. We're raising 7 great kids together. We read and write and study and learn together and grow together. And we serve and lead together and teach and train together. And it is awesome. It really is awesome. And I want to like let you know, like, it's possible. This isn't a show. This isn't an act. It's not a mask or a pretense. It's legit. It's possible. Because I wondered when I was a youth, I wondered if it was possible. And it is. And our marriage is awesome. We love it. Oh, it's so fun. So fun to be married. You don't realize how, I love to joke and tell people, like, you don't realize how terrible it is to be single until you get married. And marriage is awesome. When you do it right, it's incredible. So her dad ended up, he took some drastic health measures, got crazy healthy, did some alternative stuff. He ended up living for about 2.5 years. And so he got to be there for the wedding. And then he was even got to meet Kaya when we adopted her. She was a few months old when he passed away. Almost a year, actually. And so he got to see his first grandbabies and see his 2 of his kids married. And we miss him. And that was hard. It was a hard way to start life. But we were able to bond and connect through that and build up our marriage, you guys. And we got married and started life together. And I'll have to lead into some other stories here about that journey. But, you know, we started life and it was awesome. And so from those first early dates and seeing her that night and just choosing my love and then loving my choice and getting up every day and still choosing her. And I get excited when she wakes up in the morning and we can reconnect. And when we are separated during the day running errands or doing work or when I have to occasionally go on a trip or something, man, I'm excited to see her again. I'm excited to see her tonight. She's doing some work and we're going to this awesome date. I got up early and made her Eggs Benedict, her favorite breakfast. And you guys, here's I'm going to throw this little tip out there for all of you. Pay attention to the people you love and you want to serve. And pay close attention to what they say. Even take notes and be keenly aware of what they like. What do they love? What are their favorite things? Her favorite breakfast is Eggs Benedict. And whenever she, you know, I asked her, like, if I were to take you to a nice restaurant, where'd you go? And she's like, I want to go to a nice Italian restaurant or a nice French restaurant. Those are her favorites. And so tonight I've made reservations to a really nice Italian restaurant. And you just pay attention to the little things that she loves and appreciates. And then when there's an opportunity to serve and give, and not just on Valentine's Day, and not just on their birthday, and not just on the holidays, but every month, and sometimes every week, a kind note, frequently sending little love messages and texts, doing little kind things. You guys, I'm telling you, especially you men, but it goes both ways. Like, do little things. Pay attention to the little things. It doesn't take a lot of time to send a text or write a note or do something kind you know they appreciate. If there's a certain way they like certain things in the house or a little gift or something, do that regularly and it makes a gigantic difference. So, my friends, choose your love, love your choice, and prove your love with your actions and your words and make it happen. And you can literally have an extraordinary marriage and an extraordinary life. Oh, I love this stuff. So look forward to it. Look forward to it. If you're single, look forward to having great relationships and prepare yourself for it. Work on yourself. And if you're married, like, work on your marriage. Make it awesome. Set that goal to have it be extraordinary. Don't settle for anything less. Okay. Hope this has been helpful. You guys love this. If you get value out of this, please share it. Maybe take a screenshot of where you're listening to this podcast, slap it up on your Facebook or Instagram and share it. Share the episodes that you like. They're like, are hitting home and teaching you valuable lessons. Share those with people. I mean, we have a goal, Rachel. I have a goal to help hundreds of thousands of families. We want to have a massive circle of influence where we can inspire and train so many families to live extraordinary lives, because life can be so wonderful. And a lot of people are just suffering and just going through the grind unnecessarily. And so we want to serve and help as many as we can. So if you ever are listening to an episode and you're like, yeah, that's awesome, and you think of someone who needs to hear this, pass it along. I really appreciate that. It'd be awesome. And leave a positive rating if you like it. You guys are awesome. Love you so much. Remember, awesome is always an option. Reach upward. Hey, everybody, thanks so much for listening to this episode. I hope you got a lot of value out of it and found some things that you can apply to your life right away. Hey, I'm being totally sincere when I say I live to help you live your extraordinary life. So I hope you'll reach out to me if you have any questions, or let me know how I can help you in any important area of your life. And in fact, you know, this podcast is brought to you by the School of Awesome Sauce monthly coaching program. Take advantage of that. Get in there. If it's the best way to get a breakthrough to the next level, so you can level up your health, your spirituality, your emotions, your mind, your relationships, your finances and business, every part of your life. Just get in there where you have a coach and a mentor. You have a supportive community to make things happen. So jump in there. Take advantage of this. Try it out. Get in there with us and level up your life. See you on the inside. Reach upward.